This is Gamercast episode 288, BioWuss. This is the show recorded on the 10th of April, 2012. Yeah, I'm your host. My name's Paul, and joining me this week, as always, is Catherine.
Hi.
Now for the news.
Right, so first up, there's a few things in the news this week. In fact, there's more than a few things in the news this week. First up, though, we're going to talk about Mass Effect 3, which is a brand new game which has just been announced and is apparently coming out soon.
Yes.
Or the new
or
ending
the game
for it
that
is.
It came out about a month ago now, wasn't it? Yes, so.
It was
EA
the
and
7th of March?
Is it the 7th?
Maybe the 5th? I don't know, ran then sometime
on
that. I
think it was a bit later than that, wasn't it?
Why is my camera being all finicky?
So, yeah. Mass Effect 3 came out, and a lot of people were a bit angry. I still have yet to play it due to the not finishing of previous. But, yeah, so everyone's really annoyed. I know a few people that have finished it and thought it was fine, they didn't really care. But otherwise, the rest of the internet went a bit crazy. And there were, like, petitions and all this other crap. There was a petition which involved a charity as well, and everyone that signed it donated money to charity, I believe, and then something to do with cupcakes and whatnot. Yeah, and so EA and BioWare have, even though they spent God knows how long making the game.
A couple of weeks.
Yeah, they would have had a pretty massive budget for Mass Effect 3, you'd imagine. They would have spent quite some time on it. They were probably working on it either before Mass Effect 2 came out or after Mass Effect 2. You'd think they started it slightly beforehand.
Well, yeah, they would have had the story people and all that on it.
Oh, yeah, the story. Well, the story could have been finished for ages, though, to be fair. But, yeah, so what they're doing now is, as an apology to the people that didn't like the ending.
Can we just say something here? Mm-hmm. No spoilers. Mm-hmm. If you're Mass Effect 3 and you haven't finished it yet, we will not have any spoilers in here or the chat room. I'm looking at you, chat room. And you, Catherine. And then I probably just say a spoiler.
Well, I'll say, I don't really know much about it because I don't really want it spoiled or anything like that. But yeah, so they're releasing the Mass Effect 3 Extended Cut. This piece of DLC is coming out
Later.
It's absolutely free until I think it was April 2014 or something like that. So they're giving you a big window to download it for free. It's coming out on 360, PS3 and Windows, of course, which is the platforms that the game.
So is this add-on? Is it literally just an ending cutscene, or is there a gameplay in it?
Additional cinematic sequences.
Spoilers.
Additional cinematic sequences and epilogue scenes. And it gives fans seeking further clarity into the ending
so there ain't
a
no
bit
gameplay.
Of a chance to have things concluded from your own personal journey. But, yeah. I don't know, it feels silly because they've spent so much time on that game, and because they had lots of negative press, negative fans, they've turned around and changed what they've originally made by saying, oh, we're really sorry, here, have this as well. And it just feels like a bit of a cop-out. They made the game how they wanted to make the game, so surely that should be it.
Yeah, man, I mean, if I was the writer for that,
I would be
like...
The thing is, as Paul had said just before we started the show, they obviously had a certain way they wanted to finish it. Okay, maybe for whatever reason.
I hurt myself.
For whatever reason, fans didn't like that, but I don't know. I just think it's a little odd.
Chat room is telling us spoilers and stuff.
Usually a game's made with an ending in mind, that ending's released, there's not usually an extra DLC ending.
DLC ending. Lau, oh, I better cover up a spoiler with my face.
With your face, just move your face around at high speed so no one can see it. Yeah, so that's kind of, I don't know, kind of odd, because that's almost the first instance of that kind of thing happening, and it's really weird.
Yeah, I can't think of another time it's happened.
I mean, the only thing you can liken that to is changing things in, like, MMOs or any kind of PC game and patching things
Windsor's,
to how people like it.
Windsor or Oxlow, whatever his name is, keeps changing. He says, typical PR, this is him trying to get a PR job, fans' views are important. But you should not change the ending. No swearing out 4.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously
I
there
am allowed
out.
To swear in the
everything. Obviously there was like uproar and everything, but still I don't think it's enough to change it. Anyway, next up, going off the Mass Effect 3 stuff, Men of War Condemned Heroes has a confirmed UK and Irish release date, which is the
Iron
next
geez.
Game in the Men of War series, which is an RTS game. Follows, well, this tale or story of the infamous Soviet battalions, penal battalions during World War II. They were famous for being formed under Stalin's No Step Back Order 227.
Aye.
Yeah, you know what that is?
Yeah. No retreat.
The men that made up the battalions were court-martialed officers given a chance to redeem their crimes or incompetence in blood by serving as the lowest enlisted rank in a battalion that was given the most dangerous of tasks. So the game's based on real evidence from, like, history
man.
And all this other stuff. It's going to have 4 campaigns consisting of 15 missions each and will be from 1942 to 1945, and it's coming out April 20th.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. On Windows. It's a PC game. As it's an RTS, because you know RTS games don't generally
come
out on console.
Well, it will be a proper game, won't it?
So next up is some Witcher 2 news. Well, it's not really news. It's kind of a confirmation. So, as game are nice and back in the green. Shall I say in the green?
You don't say in the green. You say in the black.
In the black.
But, Game Group PLC is still in administration.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so what is it that's been bought by Ocapta? Game stores in the UK?
Game and game station stores that are still open in the UK.
But just not... Okay.
And they've been bought by Baker Acquisitions Limited. Advised okay. by okay. Op Capital.
Okay. So, Game and Game Station originally had an exclusives for... What? An exclusive, sorry.
That includes websites as well.
Okay. Oh, really? That's cool. Well, yeah, the website's up and running, isn't it? For The Witcher 2, Assassins of Kings... Enhanced Edition, Dark Edition? Did I get that right? Because it's still the Enhanced Edition.
What kind of stupid name
edition.
Is that? We just call it the Epic Super Edition.
So it's the Dark Edition because it comes with some extra stuff that the Enhanced Edition does not come with. Pre-orders went super, super fast, and this was way before the whole kind of administration stuff. Now the administration stuff's passed. Lots of people worried. I was one of the people, because I had a pre-order down, and everyone was thinking that game, with their kind of shortcomings... with their issues, may not get the new pre-orders in. Well, for the game in. Because it's coming out next.
They got the Star Wars Xboxes
time.
In.
They did, yeah. Oh, it's coming out in a week's time.
They got the PlayStation Vita stuff in, on loan from Sony.
But yeah, so game are having the Dark Edition of Witcher 2 Assassin of the Kings. If you didn't get a pre-order in, you may be able to see if your stores get a spare one in, I guess, when it comes out. Like, pop down in the morning and see if they have any in that aren't pre-orders. It's really cheap. I think it was £60 on Game's website. That's really cheap for a collection. Hey, it's not £120, considering you get it in a nice big box, and there's an art book, and you get the game, a making of, and a soundtrack, a world map, a medallion, stickers, and a handbook for quests. So it comes with some pretty cool stuff. And it was cheap for a PlayStation, if you ask me. But also, some other Witcher 2 stuff. If you didn't manage to get one of those pre-orders in, if you order your copy from Amazon, they're having the CD Projekt Red Team hand-sign every copy that they sell.
Oh.
Yeah. It's not going to be a photocopy. It's going to be an actual signed copy. So each one's going to be unique because, you know, not everyone signs the same every time.
Of course, those there early in the day will have far better-looking signatures
yeah.
than those later in the day.
Yes, that's very true. So you could get really sloppy, like, just lines, or you could get really nice, intricate signatures. But anyone who pre-orders it off Amazon from before or now up until the date of launch, will get a signed copy. If you order it after the release date, you will not get a signed copy. But it's really nice because it is just, I think it's about £32 on Amazon, so it's really cheap.
I thought it was funny.
Yeah, you thought it was funny. So yeah, that's a nice thing to do because that's a quite unique thing to do. They are selling sleeves from the looks of it, not the actual game inlay, so I imagine the sleeve will be popped over the top so you can still get a sealed game. Orcs Must Die 2 has been announced. This is a sequel to Orcs Must Die. You saw me playing that, didn't you, on what's the thing called? I can't... On live. And it was really low res. Low res, but that's because of on live.
Yeah, on live, the thing where your HD games can be played on your face.
On your face.
At 2 frames per second with massive pixels, so it's not really HD anymore.
So Robot Entertainment...
Oh, I'm with 100 milliseconds. Like
...are making a sequel well. To Orcs Must Die with number 2. They've redesigned the spellbook. You've got a broader range of options when building your arsenal of defences, and there's new upgrade systems that allow you to earn skulls for replaying levels and spend them on persistent upgrades for your defences. As well as this, anyone who owns the original Orcs Must Die will be able to unlock exclusive content in the sequel. Orcs Must Die 2 is coming out on Windows this summer. This is really creepy. Why are there just random faces? I'm sorry, I'm looking at the chat room, but what are those faces? They look kind of scary. I can't see, it's not close enough. Yes, it's coming out this summer. They had it playable at PAX. They may have it playable at E3 as well. But that's cool news, because I thought it was quite nice. Even though they were all the PCs they had were busy at E3 last year when they had Orcs Must Die show. But maybe they have it. Number 2. At E3 this year. Pinkerton Road is the name of a new studio that's been put together by Jane Jensen. She's like an old school adventure game person. So she's like behind Gabriel Knight. She worked on King's Quest. Because she used to work at Sierra. Mm. Back when Sierra Company. Do you remember that? Mm. Do you remember that, Paul? This is just creepy. Why are you doing this with the weird faces and stuff? Mm. So, along with Robert Holmes, who is a composer, they've formed a new studio called Pinkerton Road. Their new studio is devoted to making adventure games with deep and compelling storylines, hopefully with good puzzles as well, I'd imagine. They've launched a Kickstarter campaign in order to get some money. Which needs $300,000, because of course Kickstarter is kind of the thing to do at the moment. There you go. A year of adventure. So they want to, I think they want funding for a year's worth of work, and they've said $300,000 will do it. But it's nice to see another adventure studio starting up. I think I remember reading that it's going to be on her farm or something like that. I read weirdly. I think it was farm. Mm-mm-mm. Oh, I can't see it, and I don't want to have any long silences. Oh, there you go. Because I think they're either, I don't think they're married. Well, unless they haven't kept each other's names. Well, they kept their own names. But their development studio is on their farm in Pennsylvania. So I imagine they'll probably, I guess, freelance art and everything else, and kind of do the design and the composition and the story themselves. Ghost Recon Future Soldier news. There's going to be a multiplayer beta run from April 19th to May the 2nd for Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. The multiplayer beta will have up to 12 players online in a match, with three classes to choose from, which are Rifleman, Engineer and Scout. Of course, the game itself comes out. When did the game come out? It got announced very recently. There you go, May 25th in the UK. And that's on 360 and PS3, and it's coming out on Windows on June 15th. As well as that, having their multiplayer beta and stuff, they've also announced a Facebook game that they're making called Ghost Recon Commander, which is apparently a fast-paced tactical combat game for Facebook. It could be quite nice, because it might be like a proper game on Facebook. Because there is a lack of those, a lot of it is like the kind of the City of All Clones and all that kind of crap. But it sells, it makes money, it has millions of people playing it. So, you know, if you ever want to work on a game that has a definite millions of people working on it, you know, it's like Happy Pets and Cityville and all that stuff.
So I'm playing with the chat room, I'm not really paying attention.
But yeah, so they're trying to make a more gamery game, as it's a tactical game. Sounds kind of interesting. It's coming out in spring this year, so fairly soon, I'm sure. So I'm actually kind of interested in looking at that when it comes out. It's being made by Loot Drop. That's by them. They've got John Romero works there.
Aye.
So he's working on a Facebook game. As well as Brenda Braithwaite. That's pretty cool. I'll keep an eye on that. Some Fable news. They haven't announced a new game. What they have announced is a line of novels. So I think it's Random House. They're releasing 3 books. 2 in May, 1 in June. You've got Fable Reaver, Fable Jack of Blades, and Fable Teresa.
No, really? That's
to expand the Fable canon.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they said they've been very interested in expanding out the universe. There's already been, I think, 1 Fable book already, I think, or maybe 2. But these are, I think, less of coming out alongside a game and more of just coming out. Civilization V: Gods and Kings, the upcoming expansion, has been given a release date, which is June 19th in America Land and June 22nd in Europe and other parts of the world as well. This
good.
Is the expansion pack that adds religion and espionage.
Espionage has always been a lame, annoying thing,
leaders,
if you ask me.
New civilizations, blah, blah, blah.
Obviously, the most important thing is religion, because that was a big thing that was missing from Civ 4.
Mm. Nintendo have announced another Mario Tennis game coming out. This is for the 3DS, called Mario Tennis Open. It's coming out on the 25th of May, so that's, what, just in time for Wimbledon and all that tennis jib jab. That's in the summer, isn't it?
Oh god.
So Mario Tennis for the 3DS. So if you want to do some handheld tennis.
No, no.
To be fair, Mario sports games are actually fairly good, fairly well made games. Nintendo have announced Pokemon Conquest, a new Pokemon game coming out June 18th.
Is this going to have a side game with it as well? Like they normally do them in pairs.
No, as far as I know, this is just Pokemon Conquest. This is a 3DS game as well. You take on the role of a young warlord who is linked with a Pokemon.
Sounds pleasant.
Together they must set out to recruit warrior allies to strengthen their growing kingdom. Along their journey, players will encounter a variety of Pokemon as well as warriors and warlords inspired by the Japanese feudal era. The game contains nearly 200 Pokemon, including many from the recent Pokemon Black and White versions.
I'm picturing it now. Shogun 2 meets Pokemon.
As battle unfolds, players must choose the correct Pokemon type to inflict maximum damage. Well, that's a general Pokemon thing. In turn-based battle skirmishes. Right, that's Pokemon. It's turn-based. One person takes an attack, another person takes an attack. I wonder if they're phrasing this to make it sound different. It sounds like Pokemon still. Players choose... to be fair, I don't know if there's a trailer. I don't know, I haven't had a look.
I know what Winz has been typing for the last 10 minutes now.
Choose different tactics for intense 6-on battles, and battle conditions can change on every turn, keeping people on their toes. Kind of want to have a see if there's a trailer, see if this actually looks different to a normal Pokemon.
Well, while you're doing that, I'll entertain people by putting funny faces.
Oh, are you going
to? I'll try and do all the ones that Winz has typed out here.
Oh, this says I read it was 3DS in my press release.
I'm giving up on that because there's an inanimate object that I obviously can't do.
Discover a new way to play Pokemon.
Come on, Catherine, the show
I'll
is running.
I'll show you what I made up.
The show is running, yeah? Okay, I'm going to talk about the cool things
I can
do. Oh, wow,
okay, it's a JRPG turn-based game. You cannot see that. So it's squares.
Yeah, we really can't see it at all.
Well, I'm holding it down.
If you gave me the link, I could put it on the screen.
As opposed to me showing my laptop.
This is what happens when we're a day late. We forget how to do the show.
It's not your average Pokemon. So Pokemon is a turn-based game, but this is full-on Japanese RPG strategy game. So you're in a within a kind of a square-based setting, and you move your Pokemon around on a square. That's like old school.
So it's like Fallout, only with Pokemon.
Yeah, you could say that. They have announced another Epic Mickey game. So we mentioned Epic.
Yeah.
Oh God, we mentioned Epic Mickey 2 recently. They've now announced Epic Mickey Power of Illusion. Now, what I think's a shame is that the name makes me just think of Castle of Illusion. It's like, hey, how about Castle of Illusion? So Power of Illusion is a 3DS title. It's their first, of course, Epic Mickey 3DS game.
Wait. 3DS, isn't this a Mega Drive game?
It uses painting, dual screen integration, so maybe how Another World does it.
To it or something.
And allows you to create objects and characters that you can place within the wasteland. I don't know, it's not just like a port of the Wii game from the sounds of it. But what they have said is that they're paying tribute to Castle of Illusion, starring Mickey Mouse, as it focuses on the fabled Castle of Illusion, which has fallen into wasteland. So I think that's pretty cool.
I owned that game.
There was also Land of Illusion?
I had Castle.
Land of Illusion? I had Castle.
Actually, I don't know if I had it. I think my mate had it. And I might have borrowed it.
It was Land, wasn't it? Yeah, Land. I think I preferred Land, though, to be fair.
Never played Land.
Yeah.
Whatever, can we stop talking about this Mickey Mouse?
They're the best like Mickey Mouse games out there. Castle and Land, although Land, if you ask me, is better.
Of course, James Bond, codenamed Robocop, was far superior.
Nah.
What do you mean, nah?
How about Dynamite Heady?
It's a noob game. What about Lemmings?
Yeah, Lemmings is alright.
Lemmings is the best. Lemmings, they should remake Lemmings.
Lemons.
Lemons. They should remake Lemons. They used to be so good, but the new ones you get now, they're just crap. You just want to take them back to Tesco and ask for a refund.
So yeah, it sounds kind of interesting. It'd be nice to see what they make of this new Epic Mickey game.
I'm actually turning it off, because Winds are just abusing it now.
Because, of course, they're also making Epic Mickey 2, but as this game is coming out this fall, they must have had it in development since before Epic Mickey.
At least last week.
At least last week, yeah. You know, it only takes a few months to make a game. They're not hard.
Well, it's just not hard at all. You just play a game and it makes itself.
Yeah. You just be like, I'm going to have this and this and this and start playing it. It's like, oh, wow, this is a really good game. Next up, Space Hawk is now on Steam. This is a...
Well, this is that thing like Noah, yeah, but in space, and it teaches the Bible to kids by being a spaceship.
Yes. So Space Hawk was made by Straw Dog Studios. It's like
it's that thing with that funny looking thing in it.
You got a little dude, but it's Arkanoid Breakout, whatever you want to call it, but with a little animal, and you're collecting fruit and stuff like that. It's a really nice little game. I played it lots on Xbox 360, but see, now it's on Steam, because remember I played it on PC, and now it's on Steam. They were giving away copies for free. Of course, giving away free, they usually kind of go
together. They were giving away copies for £10.
On their Facebook, although they may have run out, but it's only $6.99 if you want to give it a go. You should definitely give it a look, maybe down at the trial on Xbox Live, because I really quite enjoyed it. I liked that game. I saw that email. And classic
Mumbo
FM
Jumbo.
Hall of Fame news. So we mentioned this just before it was happening. Every year, Classic FM does a Hall of Fame for classical music. I think it's every year. Yeah, it's every year. And a few gaming people, mainly one guy, was trying to get some video game music in the Classic FM Hall of Fame. Because, seriously, there is some amazing music out there that is in games. And they managed to do it. So the Skyrim theme came in at number 238. Maybe it'll be a bit higher next time, because that is an awesome piece of music.
Yeah,
I really
right.
like it. I can get it stuck in my head when I just hear a second of it. I've got it in my head right now, because I just said it. It's in my head right now. And then at number 16 they had the Final Fantasy VII. I think it was Aerith's theme. But obviously that is the one that they were trying to get people to vote for.
I actually think that the Streets of Whiterun is the best music in
considering Skyrim. It came in at number 16, that is pretty darn good. That's almost the top 10.
So what's the number one?
I don't know. Do you want me to find out? Do you want me to find out?
Baby Let's Dance by Matthew Windsor.
While I'm looking that up, Shadowrun news. So Shadowrun is an old school game. You may know the name from the fairly more recent Xbox 360 and Windows release. Which
had cross-platform multiplayer.
Yes, it has cross-platform multiplayer. It's still one of the only games to do that, really, isn't it?
Yeah, people don't bother doing
it. Not that many games do that.
It's because of PC. People will just destroy the console news. And then the console news will be like...
Yes, Paul.
Damn, console noobs. Get a computer, you fool.
So, yeah, before that, Shadowrun, though, came out... it was originally a pencil and paper role-playing game. Then you've also got... it was a release on... I think... Did it come out on Mega Drive? I've got it on the SNES. I'm not sure if it came out on Mega Drive, though. It came out on PC as well. And... some of the original people behind it would now like to make a new Shadowrun. They will be making a new one because they've made more than enough money. But they've started a Kickstarter. As you know, it's the cool new thing to do. It's what all the kids are doing these days.
Yeah, I mean, two weeks ago, nobody had ever heard of it. Now it's the newest cool thing ever.
It had those really cute robots that have a flag and tell you where they're trying to get to. And it's based on people putting them right if they fall over. It was cute. Anyway, so there's a Shadowrun Kickstarter. If you go on Kickstarter's website, you'll be able to find it. They've made more than enough money, but they can also do with more money, of course, because it will help them out. They've got the license to make a game. It's going to be a 2D role-playing game. And there's various pledges that you can go for.
Aye.
Number one was Piano Concerto Number 2 by Rashmaninov.
Mm-hmm.
Rashmaninov? I don't know that.
Some guy. Let's talk about Lost Planet 3. Because apparently they're making it.
Yes, it got announced today, actually. Lost Planet 3.
So this is a Capcom mech shootery
game. Third person and mech shooter. It's being made this time around by Spark Unlimited. They made Turning Point Fall of Liberty. Do you remember that 360 PS3 game? They also made Legendary... which Atari released, which had Mythical Beast in it and stuff. And they also did Call of Duty Finest Hour, so on PS2.
This is coming out on all current gen platforms.
Yes, Xbox 360, Windows, and PC. Xbox 360, Windows, and PlayStation 3 early next year, as Paul said.
No, so I say all current gen because the PS Vita, DS, 3DS, and the Wii, these are lesser consoles.
Mm-hmm. You play a pilot contractor named Jim.
You put a lot of thought into Jim.
That. Swapping between first-person combat in his utility rig and third-person shooting while on foot among the frozen tundra of EDN 3. Capcom say the Acrid are back in full force. They've gone with a Western developer. So they've got Ninja Theory, of course, making Devil May Cry, or DMC, as you'd like to say. There is also a new trailer for DMC. Some of it, I think, is really childish, but the rest of it is kind of cool. There's a new Resident Evil 6 trailer. These kind of all came out from Captivate, which I think apparently happened last month, back in March.
Mm.
But there's a few trailers that have surfaced. And so they announced Lost Planet 3. Apparently it was leaked yesterday or in the early hours of the morning, or it leaked at some point, but it was fully announced today.
It's time for Name That Game. So last week everyone would have heard this. What a pleasant sounding clip of sound. We had a bunch of people guess. I don't think we had anyone on YouTube, did we?
Kiss Kiss Big Boss Kiss Kiss MGS Kiss Kiss said, I think you've mentioned me 3 times in a row now. Is it Unreal Tournament? It sounded like you were going to say that.
Yeah, but I say many things
to... Happy face. I would do a face, but it's got a deep face. Smiley face.
So yeah, so we had a guess, Unreal, no.
And that is all the guesses. The other things.
We had a lot of comments saying that I missed out on all the things that I should do, like Bins of a Solar Dustman, which is what I used to call Sins of a Solar Empire. And what was the other thing where I had to fail?
Well, Billy and Clonosaurus is Mars better than Jurassic Park. Yeah.
Billy and the Clonosaurus, I mean,
Game was all a fever dream, we all imagined it. MCV was always bin fodder. Mortal Kombat Vita has all the DLC, like I guessed. And someone also asked when we're doing our next giveaway.
We're doing a giveaway when we have some stuff to give away.
I don't really have anything to give away at the moment.
How about this stupid Mickey Mouse thing you see in the background?
My mug? It's my...
Glass. It's a glass. Anyway, to get a move on.
Ooh. Old school Mickey.
Put it down. Thank you. My segment. I made you be quiet and shut up. And don't move. Don't move. Oi! Back it in.
You said shut up.
Yeah, my segment. That's rude. Shut up. Shut up and stop threatening me. Catherine said Left 4 Dead 2, Windsor said Left 4 Dead 2. They're all wrong. The answer was actually Left 4 Dead 1, which Charlotte guessed, so GZ to Charlotte.
Oh, she gets GZs. Yeah, we didn't get GZs for Farming Sim last week.
Fine, no one's getting GZs, so GZs are retracted.
Paul, no, you just said GZ to Charlotte, or I'll flick you.
So what? What were you talking about? I don't care about Farming Sim. That was like two episodes ago.
Well, no, you just gave her GZs for Left 4 Dead.
Right, so fine, no one's getting nothing. And you're not getting one this week now.
Me?
You can do your own name tag games.
I could do that.
No, you couldn't. Yeah,
but then you'd moan because you won't know them. I know. Or you'll cheat.
I'd storm off and not do it anymore if I got it wrong. Anyway, so this week we got this. Clues. Multi-platform. Probably rubbish. Lame racing game. Got a stupid kid in it. That's your clues.
Ben 10.
Ben 10 what?
Oh, damn it. What's it called? It's Ben 10
the
racing.
The racing one is Ben 10 Galactic Racing.
Ben 10 Galactic Racing. Well, you said it's on multiple platforms. It's probably crap. Not being mean to the people that made it, because I haven't played it, but this is Paul's assumption. And you said it's got a kid in it. I'm sure there's multiple games with kids in them, but I'm going to go with Ben 10. Ben 10 Galactic Racing.
Ben 10, are you sure?
No.
Especially since I had to tell you the name of it. Surely if that was the answer, I wouldn't have told you the name. Don't you think?
Maybe.
Anyway, Ben 10 will throw up a spelling error on it one because it's a number. Now it will. There you go. Galactic
Racing. There is a
racing.
Space after Ben.
No, Ben 10 is all one word, isn't it?
No, it's not.
It is every time I've seen it written.
Except for all these times it's written.
Well, fine, I only see it written on the tills, and the tills don't have space.
Okay.
But then
that's
we don't really have
nothing
space.
Nothing has spaces.
Any other guesses from the chat room? Windsor says so close. I'm not even going to write that down. That's so lame. So close. What are you jib-jammed about, fool? So anyway, if you think you know what it is, feedback@gamercast.net, that will send me an email. Then I will see the email and type it into my show notes. You can also leave a comment on this week's episode on the website, gamercast.net, or leave a comment on the YouTube episode, and if someone remembers, we might actually check it for the answers. Ben 10 Galactic Race. And you sure it's not that Madagascar... DreamWorks
Karting? Yeah, DreamWorks Karting.
You sure it's not that? Because that had a kid in it, that zebra kid.
I have no idea. Well, it's some kind of racing game, and I have no idea. And it's not something you've played. It doesn't sound like something you've played.
I play many titles on.
Yeah, but you play good racing games, don't you? And you just said it's probably crap, which means you haven't played it.
New releases this week. Pandora's Tower is coming out. This is a fun...
JRPG.
Hip game.
Which has multiple endings. I know that's one of its...
like Mass Effect.
Five different endings.
Like Mass Effect.
There's a limited edition coming out for this.
Like
very
Mass
similar
Effect.
To the Lost Stories collector's edition and
like
Xenoblade.
Mass Effect. Like Mass Effect.
It's in a similar box. comes with a steelbook case. I imagine maybe like the Last Story one, where you actually just get a steelbook and the normal game case. It comes with an art book, and that's it.
Fun.
It uses, I imagine, the Wii Motion Plus. It says it uses, it has innovative use of the Wii Remote. Yeah, so, well, they make it almost sound like, because, so, as it's a tower, it's called Pandora's Tower, I would kind of imagine it's a tower crawler, if that's even what the term is, so, like, Azure Dreams? Or was it Alondra? Actually, no, Azure Dreams, that was a pretty good one, where you go up through towers. But according to this, Pandora's Tower is an epic action story in which the player must battle and defeat 13 demonic creatures in order to save his friend. So that sounds kind of Shadow of the Colossus-like, in a way.
Yeah.
Apparently as well, the soundtrack is composed of classical music, including Verdi, is that how you say it? And Tchaikovsky?
Verdi? Vivaldi. Can't see from here.
That says Verdi.
That's Verdi, apparently. I've never heard of that.
I know, I heard of Verdi. I've heard of Tchaikovsky. I can't say his name now. There you go. There's 13 environments to tackle. Each one's based within a tower structure. And you have to kill things. Macabre significance in the game's engrossing plotline. And I haven't actually got a pre-order down for this, and I kind of want its limited edition, but I can't really afford it at the moment.
Dear publisher, we will review it for you in exchange for the limited edition, not some promo copy. That is the deal that's on the table. Take it or leave it.
You don't get promo copies of Wii Games, Paul. You get standard copies of Pandora's Tower, though.
Okay. We want the limited edition, as I already said.
Jeez. I'll pick it up when it's cheap.
Anyway, let's talk about the game that's actually worth talking about this week.
Charlotte reviewed it for the website.
I know. I'm like half tempted again, to be honest. Because I could do it with like an old school geeky PC game.
If you want to play it, I'm sure we might get a review copy.
So anyway, this is Naval War Arctic Circle, which takes place outside of the Arctic Circle, but well, never mind. Or at least the screenshots here show it outside the Arctic Circle.
Yeah, I remember reading something about Scotland and Iceland.
Yeah, the screenshots are Iceland and Scotland. And a bit of Norway. But yeah, never mind. Anyway, you talking about this? Because I actually don't know anything about it.
It's RTS, isn't it? I'm sorry, well, I don't really know anything about it. Charlotte's the one who's been playing it, not me.
We've got Charlotte on Skype, we're just phoning her up, get her to talk about it.
No, we don't have Charlotte on Skype.
Right, do you want me to make some stuff up about it then? So basically, it's got two campaign modes. It's got you play as NATO and you play as Russian. I hope that's not actually Russian and it is the USSR, because otherwise, Russian and NATO fighting each other is kind of ridiculous. In it, like, why are people insulting my language tonight, bruv?
Bruv? Since when do you say bruv?
I say it all the time. Like? It's like the streets, like. Don't mess with the streets. We'll come and get you in our Nordic ship that has a bomb on it, and we're going to blow up your car, bruv.
Okay.
Can someone please talk about this game? Because I'm running out of material to stall.
Real-time naval strategy game developed by TurboTech Games. Oh, that's interesting. The game supported by the Norwegian Film Institute, Innovation Norway, and the Norwegian Research Council.
Norwegian.
And also developed in close consultation with the Royal Norwegian Navy.
Well known for their epic navy. It has to defend their 7 or 8 fishing boats.
It takes place in 2030 throughout the North Atlantic, Arctic Ocean, and Baltic
Sea.
What?
This is in the future? This is even more ridiculous than... We wanted this set in the 1980s.
Well, I thought from what I read on the chart scene it wasn't, but this is.
And then the submarine services, and it's that guy. Sean Connery. And he's like, what's up, fool?
What about what's his face? From
Jurassic Park, Alan Grant.
What's up,
fool? And a dinosaur comes out of the submarine.
No, I can't think of what you call him. The guy from he was also in Dune.
The guy from Dune? What?
I can't think of what his name is.
The guy who used to be a Christmas tent.
What?
Oh. Jürgen. I don't know his name, but I'm calling him that.
And in... Why can't I think of the name of the film? What is the name of the submarine film?
Submarine film? Which one?
The 3-hour long one. Why can't I think of the
name? Das Boot?
Das Boot, there you go. Das Boot, man.
Jürgen? Yeah, but this is Jürgen. Future. Look, they've got like a radar screen on here.
It's all about the tech.
This isn't World War II radar, which barely works.
It revolves around an imagined conflict in the Arctic Circle where melting ice caps have opened up the region to exploration for its raw materials. There are two differing single-player campaigns narrated...
So they're not predicting the future?
What's
the point in this, then?
Sorry, Paul, it may not happen. Narrated and played from Russian and NATO perspectives, and...
Russian. Boring.
It's also got one-on-one more
player. What, the USSR, man?
It consists of a 35... mile kilometer squared map. That doesn't make sense, does it?
I hope it's more than 35 square kilometers.
What is
it? 35 million.
Oh, sorry,
there you go,
35 million. Well, I read that as Mars. I was like, that doesn't make any sense.
So it's, you play in a 6 mile by like 6 mile little stretch
there we go.
Of water here.
35 million kilometer squared map. Has dynamic weather and a day night cycle, which can affect the game mechanics. It's played in real time, so there's no pause functionality. Other than bring up the game menu, though, so that does pause it. And you can compress time to up to 120 times.
Cool.
It has two viewports, one large and one small. Does that make sense? One large and one small, which hosts a 2D strategic view of the playable map and a 3D view to observe controllable units.
See, this is like
you
the old school PC games.
You can switch between the two
games.
Views in main display, and the other is shown in the smaller viewport.
This is what I like. Old school PC games with lots of buttons and doodads and time compression and stuff. Proper game, not the newbie. Look, here's my Sun Hunter 5 where the boat practically drives itself.
The vast majority of usable units, so ships, submarines, fixed wing aircrafts, and helicopters, are taking from the following actual navies as well. And they will be being used or used in the future, of like from
well,
the Canadian
it's only 15
Navy,
years in the future.
Royal Danish, Finnish Navy, German Navy, Royal Netherlands, Royal Norwegian, Polish Navy, Russian Navy, Royal Swedish Navy, Royal Navy, and United States Navy. That's a lot of navies.
No, if there's a conflict between NATO and Russia, it has to have all those countries in it.
Yeah.
It's not really a conflict between NATO and Russia, otherwise there's a conflict between Norway and Russia.
There's also
America and Russia.
Civilian tankers, merchant vessels, fishing boats, and passenger aircraft. Does that mean you can accidentally kill people? Poor little fisherman in the little boat minding their own business.
Yeah, it's like in Star Trek 4 when the bird of prey comes down, decloaks in front of the fishing boat, and then goes boom, and the fishing boat explodes. Oh wait, that didn't happen.
So this actually came out today, I believe, on Steam. If I'm
How much is it? I'm tempted by this. I want my geeky game.
You want your geeky
game? This is a proper game.
Well, there you go, Paul. You can see if it's on Steam.
It's a proper game.
As Charlotte said in her preview, it's out on the 10th. And the 10th is today.
What the hell is it called?
Naval War.
I was, like, at my keyboard thinking, it's not MiG-29 Vulcan, which is another old-school proper war game.
There you go. It's available on Steam now for £15. I believe they'll probably do a retail release, perhaps. Maybe.
Has it got multiplayer?
Yeah, one-on-one multiplayer.
What about 1v1v1? Then me and Falcon play.
Where Online play are. Through LAN as well as over the internet. And that's actually the only two releases this week, which is why I thought it was okay for us chatting a lot about Naval War, or me reading a lot of blurb as opposed to trying to read stats from a preview. there's a Wii game out this week and a PC game. But I believe Charlotte quite enjoyed Naval War.
Aeroplan.
It's kind of Paul's kind of game. I was when I saw that we had a preview, I was like, oh, I wonder if Paul would like to preview that.
Yeah, but I can't be bothered. I'll play it.
That's what I thought.
But I ain't writing anything, I can't be bothered.
You can look at it.
I'm too busy at work. Baxter wouldn't have a clue what to do with that game.
And what else when you buy it on Steam, is that you get something free with it as well? Scroll up a little bit. You receive a free copy of Commander Quest of Conquest of the Americas when you purchase Naval War Arctic Circle. Charlotte says naval warfare is so slow.
Of course it is.
That's why Bor would spend ages playing Silent Hunter.
That's why you've got time compression to speed the game up, because your battleship will take a month to get over there.
Yeah, it's sea
Of course, if it's set in 2030, why don't they just have loads of nukes and stuff firing everywhere instead of like a proper World War II one, where you've got these flimsy little planes which you send out for, like, you send out 10 of these flimsy planes to try and do some recon, they all get shot down, or maybe one of them makes it back and the guy's like so disorientated he thinks, yeah, they had a giant unicorn coming to get us, we better bring the fleet back. The whole port.
Giant unicorn.
Instead of this fancy,
is it a giant unicorn sat on top of a submarine,
well,
commanding things?
If it had Alan Grant on his Jurassic Park
and Jürgen,
Billy the Clonosaurus boat, you know, Jürgen. And Jürgen trying to captain it, he could.
Oh,
oh, nice! It's got the TU-144 there. And what's that? Oh, I don't know what boat that is. I'm not good with my boats. I'm good with my aircraft. So that's a TU-144.
I don't know anything about any of them.
And
that's a boat.
They're a bunch of what they SU 31s or 36. That's a MiG-29. I know these things. I know my stuff.
How do you know these things?
Well, because I have the games where these things run.
Oh, okay.
Are we done?
Yeah, we're done. That's all. Well, that's,
see, I can be enthusiastic about games. That's the kind of major
releases. Yeah, you were quite enthusiastic about it.
Unlike Billy and the Clonosaurus, lame game. It's not even an official Jurassic Park game. See, it's like the semi-official 20th Century Fox version of it.
So Charlotte says that Naval... What? I've already forgotten the name of it as well. Naval
Circle Combat Giant
Naval
Dinosaurs.
War. Well, she called it Naval Warfare. So Naval War has the best victory screen in the world. You get a bunch of fireworks and it says yay.
Victory screen? There should never be victory. This war will keep on going. I don't like it anymore. I ain't buying fireworks. What is this, a Spectrum game? Oh look, we figured out how to do some cool fireworks with our crappy
on Game Boy.
BBC Micro Jib Jam. So yeah, anyway, thanks for listening / watching.
Yes, thank you.
If you're listening to the podcast, we do record it live every Monday, apart from this week we did it on Tuesday.
But it will be Monday next week.
At 8 o'clock UK time. Work it out. If you can't work it out, you don't deserve to listen to the show. It's not simple. You would have been taught how to work out that when you were like 5.
Well,
like
you could just count. Search it on the internet. If you're in America land, type in.
Yeah, use the internet.
And the internet
to find
can tell
out.
You.
The internet.
Or the clock on your computer can tell you as well. So.
Yeah, if you're on Windows, yeah. It's not difficult to set additional
you could,
clocks.
Yeah, you could add an additional clock and call
you
it GamerCast.
You could even call a clock GamerCast.
And it could be your GamerCast clock. Can you set alarms? I suppose you could set a reminder in Outlook or something like that. I was just thinking, you could have a GamerCast alarm.
Well, yeah, we should put up a calendar file so people can easily set it to their calendars. Yeah, we also do a video version of it, which goes up on YouTube a day or so later, depending on when I can be bothered to edit it. Not that it gets edited other than having the end of the show cut off and the beginning cut off.
Pretty much.
But that actually takes YouTube several hours to, like, do that. Stupid YouTube, get faster computers, like, bruv.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can send feedback to feedback@gamercast.net, leave us comments on our website gamercast.net, etc, etc, etc. If you're a publisher who want to get in contact with us about doing a review or maybe getting in a few silly words, I can be bribed for a reasonable price.
Well yeah, contact feedback@gamercast.net. People seem to contact Paul more than they contact us sometimes.
Because I'm the boss man.
You're the boss man. I'm Chief Awesome Officer.
If I can shut the website down, I'm in charge of it.
That's very true.
Do you know how quickly it takes me to shut it all down and delete everything off of it?
Not very long at all.
About 6 or 7 seconds.
Yeah, there you go. So we'll catch
Don't
you all next week.
Don't mess with my power. I have the power.
There may be more news and maybe more
Probably
new releases.
Probably new releases.
Because there's not much this week. I mean, there were a few other kind of GSP releases, but they were kind of re-releases of games that already exist.
Yeah, we didn't come
out. So I kind of went with the main team.
Hey, the chat room says, bruv, it's a new Nate Bauer.
Great, you're going to say bruv from now on.
It's not Nate Bauer. It's Neboa. Neboa. Say it right, you fool.
Okay. So yeah, we'll catch you next week. And yeah.
Yeah.
For more funs and stuff.
The funs.